we will probably do that again, because that's just fun to talk about.
Well, I missed it, so go for it.
Okay, we're gonna go for it. All right, praise the Lord. This, we've talked about the 70 weeks, of course, when the weeks began, and when the first section of 7 weeks ended. This began in 445 BC. This one began, and actually, this first section ended in 396, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 49 years. Mm-hmm. So then we run up to 483 years when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the little donkey, which leaves 7 years to go, 1 week, mm-hmm. 7 years. Mm-hmm. Now the 7 year period, as we talked about, has already run out, because we've got to get Pentecost on there. We've talked about this before. Pentecost has to be on the clock. Before the clock stops, Pentecost has to be there. Why? Because there's all kinds of prophecies in the Old Testament about, for example, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so that has to be on the clock. And we assume the clock stopped on Pentecost, because we can't find any place anywhere else where, you know, we don't find a good stopping place after that. You look in the book of Acts, and you don't find anything that stops, that really would stop the clock. It's got to stop, or else it's all run out, and yeah. Daniel's prophecy failed.
Yeah.
So it has to stop.
Yes.
But we've run off 55 days off the clock. And I'm going to hand out something here. I don't know why I'm getting started on this. No rhyme or reason for it, maybe, but we do have a handout that shows the Pentecost timeline. Now, we're going to get into this. I'm just giving you a little preview about where we're going with this Pentecost timeline. We know that the clock had to stop. But if it stopped on Pentecost, we've already run 55 days off the clock.
Okay.
So if you had a full 7 year period of 7 years, 360 days per year, which is a prophetic year, that would be 2,520 days. We've already run 55 days off the clock. So we've only got, when the clock begins to run, until from the time the clock begins to run, let's just for right now, we'll say that's the rapture, okay? The rapture takes place 2,520 days is a 7 year period of 360 days apiece. 360 days of prophetic year. That would be a full 7 years.
That's days.
Days. Days. Days. Days. Help me out. Days.
He's days.
Days.
He's days.
All right. But we've run 55 days off the clock, and I'll show you why in a minute. That thing that I handed out will show you. But we've run 55 days off, which leaves us with 2,465 days to go from the rapture to the second coming. 2,465 days. Once the clock begins to run, there's no turning back. No stopping it. Everything just rolls off just right on schedule. Everything, all of the events of the end times are going to tick off. One after another, after another, after another. And as a matter of fact, if you miss the rapture, and you see that take place, you're going to be able to know the very day that the two raptured witnesses will be killed, the very day and the very hour that they're going to be raptured to heaven. And you will know basically the very day and hour, almost the very hour, when Jesus will return. So once you get into, once the clock begins to run, it's child's play to figure out when everything's going to happen. It's all laid out. So what happens is, right now we're off the clock. The clock is not running. That's why nothing's happening. And that's why we don't know when the clock is going to begin to run again. But once it begins to run, then everything happens one right after another, after another, after another. It's the only the time when we're off the clock that is an unknown period of duration. That's where we're at right now. Now let's look at your little chart that we handed out here. Up here in the upper left-hand corner, you go see Palm Sunday. And if you read, anybody happen to have Anderson's The Coming Prince with them? Sir Robert Anderson's Coming Prince? Some of you ordered that book. Okay, I forgot to bring mine too. But anyway, he shows you on here, according to his calculations, it was April the 6th, 32 A.D. That's Julian time. That's the Julian calendar, not the Gregorian calendar that we go by. But it gives you a good idea how these months roll out. But on the Julian calendar, 6 April 32 A.D. was the day that Jesus rode into town on the little donkey, which was the end of 69 weeks.
Yeah.
It was 69 weeks. Or 483 years from 445 B.C. All right, so then you start counting. That was a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And you start counting. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
A.D.
Because he's not dead yet. 32 A.D. from the time he's born, A.D. starts the time he's born.
Well, it's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is when he came into town on the. That was five days before he was crucified. That's A.D.
Yeah.
That's 32 A.D. Okay. That is A.D.
Yeah.
That's 32 A.D. Now we could get in not tonight probably, but we can get into. We know it's absolutely certain the year that he began his ministry. Absolutely certain in the book of Luke, the year he began his ministry. And it says that year Jesus began to be about 30 years of age. And that was 28 A.D. And we can actually see, including the Passover where he died, we can actually see four Passovers that Jesus attended during his ministry. Which brings us to 32 A.D., yes.
I think sometimes we think that time started with his birth, the zero.
I think it's after the death of Christ.
It means Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. It doesn't mean after death.
Why have we always heard that?
No.
It's Anno Domini, which means the
year of our Lord.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So you go back. Yeah.
The second year of our Lord.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It doesn't mean after death. It's Anno Domini. It's Latin, of course, means the year of our Lord. Okay. So you count from Palm Sunday. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You count to Thursday, the day that he was crucified, and we'll go into that. And we'll show you why it could not possibly be Friday, and it could not possibly be Wednesday. We'll show you why it absolutely had to be Thursday, and there's no other possible way it could be any other day. This is what nails it down. When Jesus said, I'm going to give you a sign, one sign. When the Pharisees said, come to me, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, give us a sign, and you know that you're who you say you are, Jesus said, give you one sign. Mm-hmm. Just one. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, I'm going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. Mm-hmm. And the third day I will rise. And so Jesus gave them that sign. So we assume, that Jesus, and of course we, because he gave us that sign, we believe obviously that he was the Christ. And if he didn't, if his own sign did not come to pass, he wasn't the Christ. But we believe, and there's every reason to believe, that his own sign came to pass.
Yes. Okay.
We know the day that he rose from the dead. We know it was Sunday. There's no question about that. The scripture's clear. He rose on Sunday, so you just go back 3 days. And it brings you to Thursday. It's not Friday. That's not enough days. It's not Wednesday, like some folks say. That's too many days. So you, it just, but Thursday's just right.
Just right.
It's just right.
Wednesday is a church night, so
it's just right. So Thursday's just right. Okay, so you got 5 days, and then you continue to count. There, he was 3 days and three nights in the earth. So he rose on Sunday, April the 13th. Then he was seen for 40 days. Mm-hmm. I guess I ought to read out of the book of Acts where it says that specifically. Okay, Acts 1 and starting verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So, after he rose from the dead, he was seen of them for 40 days, and then he went to heaven. So you count 40 days from the day of the resurrection, including the day of the resurrection, because he was seen that day. You count 40 days, and that brings you to May the 22nd,
yeah,
which is Thursday, the day of the ascension. Then you count, because it is 51 days from the Passover to Pentecost, according to the book of Leviticus.
When was the Passover?
The Passover, the day Jesus was crucified, was April the 10th.
That was the Passover.
Nisan 14. That was okay. Passover.
Write that down.
That was the Passover.
I thought it was the 11th. Because they had to bury him before the sun went down.
Wrong. Thursday. That's Thursday. It's the April the 10th. It's the 14th of Nisan. Here's the deal. That's a good question. That's a good comment. Because this is what throws a lot of people off. What Gentiles in their little pea brain, excuse me, don't realize that, hey, the 15th of Nisan is always a Sabbath. It don't matter what day of the week it is. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
The 14th of Nisan is always Passover. The 15th of Nisan is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it is always, always a Sabbath. And so if it happens to fall on Friday, what happens is then the next Sabbath, the next day is also a Sabbath. So you have two back-to-back Sabbaths. Why do you think that the women were just dragging around and waited until Sunday morning to come and anoint the body? They couldn't do it on the 15th, which was a special Sabbath. It was a high Sabbath. They obviously couldn't leave it. That's why they had to get him off the cross. But they couldn't do it the next day either because it was the regular Sabbath. So they got there as early as they possibly could, which was early Sunday morning before the sun came up. It was the first time they could get to it. And that's when they went down to anoint the body. It's as absolutely as clear as it could possibly be. I don't know how anybody can miss this. But people don't realize. Gentiles don't realize, unfortunately, and the Jewish people don't realize because they don't accept Christ, obviously, and they don't study it. But if you get these, if we could all get together and put our heads together, this would not be difficult. The 15th of Nisan is always a Sabbath. It don't make any difference what day of the week it falls on. Always. And then the next day might be another Sabbath. That's your regular Sabbath, so you got two back-to-back. Two back-to-back Sabbaths.
Saturday's always a Sabbath.
Saturday's always a Sabbath. It don't make any difference no matter what. But
if the 15th was on a Thursday, then it would be a Sabbath, not Sabbath, Sabbath.
That's right.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely. If the 15th was on a Thursday, you'd have to be a Sabbath. Then you'd have a day where it wasn't a Sabbath. And then that Saturday would be another Sabbath. So you'd have, but this time you got two back-to-back Sabbaths. And it, the only way it works out, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's, you know, this is beautiful. So you count from the 14th of Nisan, which was Thursday,
okay,
clear down here to the day of the Ascension.
Explain how you have Nisan and May up there. You have the month, the
that's
Jewish
right.
month.
We've
is
got
Nisan.
You notice on this little calendar that we've got both the
on the first ones, yeah.
Yeah, you've got April, which is our month, of course, and Nisan is their month. So April 10th was Nisan 14. Mm-hmm. And then April 11th would be Nisan 15, which is Friday, which was the high Sabbath. And John even says that, says for that Sabbath was a high day. And it's, you know, and even, you know, in some churches today, they have holy days of obligation, which are high days, and they're supposed to be treated just like a Sunday. Yes.
Well, didn't he share the Passover with his disciples? So how could he do that if he was being crucified?
He was crucified. What's the problem? I don't understand the problem. Yes, he ate the supper. He ate the Passover supper.
But not on Passover.
It was the evening of the Passover. See, you need to realize. Realize that the day begins at sundown.
Okay, that's right.
So it's sundown. That when they ate the Passover, it was Thursday. It was sundown. It was the 14th of Nisan. That's when the Passover is supposed to be eaten.
Yeah.
But he was crucified on the 14th. Okay.
Sun went down the next day.
Before the sun went down the following day.
Yeah.
Now here's the, I'm getting into this, it's hard not to. You have people preaching Jesus, look out for this, I'm going to tell you, look out for this. You have people preaching that Jesus was crucified just as they picked out the Passover lamb to be sacrificed. No. Jesus had already eaten the Passover lamb.
Right.
He had already eaten the Passover lamb. Now, I suppose Jesus had to make a choice. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you. But he had to make a choice. He could either eat the Passover with them, or he could be crucified at that time. But he said, with desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you. But that meant that he had to be crucified, you know. So they chose, they sacrificed the Passover lamb. They killed the Passover lamb just before Jesus and the disciples sat down to eat. And so the next day, they weren't doing it again. So as Jesus died on the cross, they were not killing the Passover lamb. They were not doing that. They had done that the day before. You can't do both things, you see. You couldn't do both things. But so he said, I desire to eat the Passover with you, so he did. But that meant that he had to be crucified the next day, which was, it was the day after that they had sacrificed the lamb before, the day before. So, you a lot of times hear people preach, you know, that Jesus died just as they were sacrificing the Passover lamb. No, no, no. No. Not happen. Did not happen. Did not happen. That happened the day before. Jesus ate the Passover with the disciples. So that he couldn't eat the Passover and be killed at the same time. So that's just the way he had to do it. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, so now we go down here, we get down, it's 51 days from Pentecost. You want to count 50 days from that high day, from the 15th of Nisan, you count 50 days to Pentecost, okay?
Okay.
But that's where you start counting. But we've got 51 days here because we're actually counting from Palm. We're trying to figure out how much time ran off the clock, for one thing.
That's what this is about.
That's what this is about. We're trying to figure out how much time has run off the clock. We know for sure that Jesus had to be crucified on the clock because there were he fulfilled 32 Old Testament prophecies in that one operation where he was killed, crucified on that day. If it's in the Old Testament, it's end time prophecy. It's got to be on the clock. If it's end time prophecy, it's got to be on the clock. That's why nothing's happening right now, because we're off the clock.
Right.
Okay. So you count from Palm Sunday to Pentecost, and it's 55 days. If you count from the time that Jesus was crucified to Pentecost, it's 51 days.
Okay.
And if you count from the ascension to Pentecost, it's 8 days. So from the ascension, where he went up and they saw him no more, until the Holy Ghost came, it's 8 days. That is extremely important. It's 8 days. Because that's what you need for a dedication of a temple or for the inauguration of a priesthood. You need 8 days for dedication. And we'll go into that. But anyway, so that's just a sort of a recap to where to bring, you know, where, this is what we're dealing with. Now, the rapture, of course, is probably the most interesting of all of these features to us, because we're going to take part in that. we're going to have a part, man. Now, and we're also going to have a part in the second coming. But everything in between, not for us, okay? Not for us. Praise God.
Thank you.
Now, that brings me to, be sure to hang on to this, because we're going to be using this over and over.
Is it clear? Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions about any of this?
Okay.
This is a pretty nifty little calendar.
It is. Very nice.
I've never seen anything like it, and I have Joanne to thank for this. She really put some time and effort into this. And give her a gold star.
Those are hard to come by every day.
The rapture is our meat and potatoes. It's our time. As far as the end times go, the rapture is really our time.
Amen.
Now when you ask, if I had waited before I taught anything, and I had just asked everybody, pre-tribbers generally say, if you ask a pre-tribber, you know, we've got pre-tribs, post-tribs, and mid-tribs. I don't think we got any mid-tribs in here. And probably tonight we don't even have any post-tribs in here. Once in a while, we have a post-tribber in here. I've been all three, okay? I've been all three. But if you walk up to a pre-tribber just, you know, at random and ask them all, right off the top of your head, you know, are you a pre-tribber? They say yes, and you ask them why. This is the response you often get. And I've got this many, 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 many times. God would not allow the church to go through the Great Tribulation.
Heard it before.
Heard that.
Heard that, said that, done that. Okay, absolutely. All right. If you ask a post-tribber that question, you get something like this.
Why not? Why not?
You, that's right. You get this response. This is the response you get. Because the church needs to go through the Great Tribulation for some reason. Because the church needs to go through the Great Tribulation. You know, I guess it needs to be purified by, tried by fire or something.
And I always, you know, I've thought, because I've been every one of them, but why not? What makes
because
the church?
Okay. He's punishing the world for not accepting his son.
All right.
I've been all over.
All right. Here's the problem. Here's the thing with this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with this now.
I lean toward free, but I've been focused.
It could be concluded, therefore, that one's position on the...
Sorry, honey.
That one's position on the timing of the rapture has more to do with one's concept of what one feels like the church needs or deserves than what the scriptures actually say about it. Some folks will say, well, the church doesn't deserve it. Other people say, well, the church needs it. And either position, either reasoning is terrible, terrible, terrible reason to take a position on the timing of the rapture. You take a position on the timing of the rapture based on what the scriptures say.
Yeah.
Not what you feel like the church might need or deserve.
Amen.
That's but true. This is where most people are coming from. When you ask them about this, they just have formed an opinion about what they feel like the church needs or the church deserves.
Yeah.
Basically, that's it. The rapture of the church is one of the primary pieces in the overall strategy of God to reclaim the earth. Mm-hmm. It's part of the big picture. This strategy was worked out in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And the rapture has to fit into the overall scheme of God for the climax of the ages. It all depends on where the church fits into that big picture. And that's, we've got a lot of scripture to go with that. It's not whether the church deserves it or whether the church needs it. It's what purpose does it serve? What purpose would it serve for the church to go through this? Do we have a role to play in the Great Tribulation? And all of this, okay, that's now we're getting down into what the scriptures tell us. All right, what I want out of this class, when you come out of this class, you should know what you believe and why you believe it, okay? That's my goal. That's my goal for you all. I don't want you to be out there talking about, well, you know, I feel like the church is a church. No. What do the scriptures say?
That's right.
What is the scriptural basis for that? If we're going through the tribulation, why? What are we going to do here? What is our purpose? What are we doing? And if we're not going to go through the tribulation, why not? How does that fit in? You see, there are scriptural reasons for this. It's not, you know, just how we feel about this. But I want you to know, and here's the thing. You need to have, and I've been talking about this, you need to have a defendable, dependable rapture theology.
Yes.
And you all are getting there now.
Amen.
Some of you that were here, that y'all that were here last time, we really got into some stuff. And we're going to go back into it because some of you weren't here. Some of you are really beginning to get a good, defendable, dependable rapture theology. Now here's what's happening.